Happy Monday from Vintage. We are on the fly, and it is a beautiful day to start out this year's adventures. We always like to start down here in Vintage because, for one thing, they always have something new and exciting going on down here that is nice to just start off the week with. And joining me is Dave Clark, who's the Vice President of Vintage. And good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Now, we are describe where we're doing our show. This is kind of a fairly new, not totally new. We were here last year.
Right.
But let's talk a little bit about this Vintage Review Circle here.
This is the Rose Plaza Center. And it's for Mr. Rose, who was a long, long time member here. And his widow, was donated this area, and this is our interview circle, and this is brand new last year, and it was rededicated. It will be rededicated here soon.
All right, very nice, and it's nice. It has a little grandstands, and what
right.
do they do here on a daily basis?
Ray Johnson interviews people who have restored and brought airplanes to be judged primarily. And he does a wonderful job of interviewing them, both on their ownership, how long they've had it, and how they restored it, and a lot of technical information as well. And Ray has been doing this for many years at his own fly-in down in Indiana.
Okay.
So very, very well-versed. And we do about three airplanes every day, Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday, so
right,
not on the weekend.
Right, 11 yep. o'clock until noon.
Okay, 11 till noon. And you feature special airplanes in here, three different ones a day.
Okay. Very, very unique airplanes primarily. Right, and some airplanes with a wonderful history, either of the airplane or of the person that flew it. And we had a few years ago, when Paul was still here, Paul Bresny was still here, they brought a little E2 Cub.
Yep.
That won mm-hmm. a prize, and Paul checked his logbook, and he had flown that airplane.
No kidding.
Right.
Taylor E2.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Very, very cool. So let's talk a little bit about Vintage and what's happening, what's new this year, some of the focuses that you folks on the board are looking at to make Vintage a better place for the members.
Right. We're always looking for something new to add, and the most recent thing we added was Hannah Hupner. She's our new administrative assistant, and she's a very, very sharp gal. And she's just started, but what we have, this is only the second year now for the forums that we have. We have 15 forums, some type club, some administrative kinds of things, some for very technical carburetor repair and alteration, that type of thing. We have NTSB coming in. We have the director of, that'll be on Friday, the director of aircraft crashes, I guess they would call NTSB. It's all designed for safety. He's the director in Alaska.
Okay.
He's going to talk about small airplane crashes and how to avoid them in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And specifically in Alaska.
Alaska, right.
Which is a very tough environment to fly.
It really is. And they tell me there are more pilots and airplanes per capita than any place in the world, probably.
So what else you have going on this year? I see you've got some notes.
Yep. We have, as I mentioned, the forums. We also have a polyfiber demonstration, a welding demonstration where you can come in and learn how to weld. Or safety wiring, some of the very simple kinds of things that owner-operators can do. We also have some beautiful, beautiful airplanes here. We have a Ryan STA, and we had a 1935 Eaglet. And when it was very nasty, rainy the other night, we put them back in our hangar. And our hangar is 100 by 75 feet. For people who might not have had the opportunity to come and visit us yet. We also have a World War I encampment, which is right behind our hangar.
That's brand new for this year, correct?
That's exactly brand new. And there are some real World War I airplanes there and real World War I engines. And in the interview circle here today and all through the week, they're going to have some of the airplanes come over and start the engines. So we've done that quite often.
And we're talking about these are original engines. These are not
absolutely original engines.
World War I
engines. Exactly.
Yep.
And we have.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, darn thing. Anyway, we have a Sopwith Camel. We have a Blériot. We have a Fokker dry decker, and a standard. And we also have a little encampment, a tent of how the pilots and the airmen in World War One, how they encamped, and they have also, and I don't know a lot about this, but there's a World War One memorial that's going to be built in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and they are out promoting that in this same area, which is, it honors the veterans of World War One.
Well, we have an exciting show here in Vintage today, and that is going to be part of it, actually, our last segment. We're going to talk to some of the World War One reenactment people.
I had one more item here that is new.
Okay.
And that is our Tall Pines Cafe building.
Yes.
For years, we've had this nasty old tent, a giant tent. Now we have been able to have donations. We don't use membership money. Donations, and we built the Tall Pines Cafe, and it is absolutely fantastic.
I saw it. It's down right next to the Ultralight Runway.
It is. It is.
So if you just keep going south from Vintage, you'll run into Tall Pines. And what are their hours?
Their hours are 6:30 in the morning until the last pancake is eaten, and that's usually about 9:30,
okay,
something like that.
Yeah. And then do they do lunch, or is it just breakfast?
The EAA allows us to do just the breakfast during the convention, but pre-convention, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we do the dinner. No lunches, just a dinner, a brats kind of a dinner, primarily for the people who are way down south and don't have any place to get something to eat.
Dave, I'm looking around. I'm seeing a lot of vintage airplanes.
Absolutely.
There is a huge showing this year.
Right.
It's exciting.
There really is. I talked to a man from Australia. And I visited there a couple of times, and we were visiting about aviation in Australia. And he said, I love to come to Oshkosh. He said, you can see more of the kinds of vintage airplanes than any place in the world. And he's right.
In one place.
Right.
And one fantastic week.
Exactly.
Dave, thank you so much for the update on vintage and the introduction to the hour. And
you're very welcome.
We're going to get on with the show with some of the cool things that are going on this year. And one of them is the Swift Fuel folks that are doing the replacement for the 100 low lead. And we're just gonna talk to. To Chris DaCosta and Brian Sturm from Swift Fuels. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Good, yeah.
We're doing great here, too. Thank you for having us.
Your voice is well-fueled.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about this. I mean, most aviators know and are terrified by the fact that that the lead is being, you know, basically the EPA has said no more lead come soon, right? I don't know if they
actually, it's the medical community who said that.
Is it the medical community?
Absolutely, because of the health effects of that lead has on people, particularly children. So, you know, it's been an effort of the FAA for the last 20-something years to try to get the lead out of avgas. There's been a considerable amount of effort over that time. In the last 2 or 3 years, the FAA sponsored a program called PAFI, Piston Alternative Fuels Initiative, which is designed to try to find the full replacement. There were 17 fuels considered. After a wide range of testing for the last 3 years, we're down to 2 fuels. Swift is one of those 2 fuels. We're the only all-hydrocarbon fuel, which means we have relatively lower toxicity, relatively better material compatibility in the airplanes. Emissions are far better than the leaded emissions, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a really highly compatible fuel. It's one that's going to make the industry really happy. So when you said the pilots have anxiety about not having lead, I really challenge that. They're going to love our unleaded fuel. It has the same or better anti-detonation performance as the leaded fuels. It just doesn't have lead in it. So it's going to perform very well in the engines. We've been testing this fuel. It's been ASTM It has a production ASTM specification since 2013, which means the global oil and gas aviation industry have all endorsed the fuel for that standpoint. So it's a really remarkable fuel. In the meantime, though, while we're waiting for the next 3 years for the FAA program to complete itself, and we're sure that we'll be successful in that effort, in the meantime, we've introduced a 94-octane unleaded fuel. We call it UL94, and it's available nationwide. There's 29 airport facilities around the country that are using the fuel, including it's being flown from California to New York State. It's been flown from Michigan down to Florida. There's eight airports in Wisconsin that have our fuel. In fact, it's here today at the Ultralight Farm Fuel Farm. Here it's being sold for $3.10 a gallon.
Oh, that's great.
It's substantially excellent fuel. Two of our vintage pilots that are sitting behind me, Chris Rounds and Rick Volker, flew their Howards here on that fuel.
Oh, that's awesome. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to dive into this in the next segment and get real specific about what we've got going on here.
Especially the maintenance aspects of it.
Yes, absolutely. J-Mont G, we're on the fly down at Vintage. We'll be right back.